Real love. Today, theme is real love, but the topic is an epic battle. You can turn to your neighbor and say, you're ready for an epic battle. The epic battle. Here in America, and even around the world, top love stories, movies that people have watched, The Titanic, The Notebook, and even Gone with the Wind. Top love songs that people still sing, they've been sung for a long time and continue to sing, I Will Always Love You, Can't Help Falling in Love with You, Unchained Melody, Perfect, top love stories, books, Pride and Prejudice, Romeo and Juliet, Gone with the Wind. But with so many movies, so many songs, so many novels that have been written, with such success, how much we have gone, we have supported, we have paid to see, paid to buy, paid to listen to, has it made us humans any better at love? No matter how many love songs have we listened to, did it make us better at love? No matter how many movies we watched about love and being in love and finding love, did it make us better at love? Seems like today people have a harder time to find it, to keep it. Maybe because they keep looking in all the wrong places. Some think they find it, but don't even know that they have. They found it. One day, Kim and I don't know if it was our first car, we had a Ford Probe. Was that our very first car? So we bought this used car from a used car lot, and it was horrible. Well, at first it was fun. I mean, it did have a little zoom, and we were zooming around. But somehow, some way, well, actually, first the transmission broke. We took it back, the guy replaced it, blah, 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 blah. But next thing you know, the engine blew. So we bought a used car, transmission broke. Kept driving, well, got fixed, then the engine blew. Me being, at the time, I was probably 21, 22, something like that. I thought I was going to sit and take this engine apart and put it back together. And it sat, my best friend's dad said I can park it at his church in Val Vista, so it sat there with the hood open, and I decided to try and take it apart, and I had absolutely no idea what I was doing. Shortly after that, I decided to junk it for a couple hundred bucks. Most of us don't realize this is how we think we know love. We think that we know love. We think we know how to do love. We think we know how to do love. But ultimately, at the end of the day, many of us, when we forget, when we ignore the instructions that were laid out before us, we miss love every single time. With that, we're going to open with Matthew chapter 24, starting in verse 9. Jesus said, good news, speaking of Christians, Christ followers, you'll be arrested, persecuted, killed. You will be hated all over the world because you are my followers. Many will turn away from me, betray, and hate each other. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. Jesus describing the end of the world. Sounds like an exciting time. Christ's followers are going to be arrested, persecuted, and killed. Doesn't that sound like fun? Woo! It's already happening. Like around the world, they're already being arrested, they're already being persecuted, and they are being killed. Here in America, Christians are being persecuted. If we were to speak the word of God in schools, you're going to be persecuted. If you were to speak the word of God in your workplace, you're going to be persecuted. If you speak the word of God anywhere you go, anywhere, you will be persecuted. So these things, they are already happening. There are people being arrested, persecuted, and killed. Jesus said at the end, many are going to turn away from the truth. He says many will betray, hate each other. We see all these things already, right? False prophets spreading the message of the devil. Hate, anger, fear, jealousy, insecurity. You know what he tells people? You don't need God. You're kind of like a God. You're in control. This life is yours. You can do whatever you want. Lastly, Jesus said, the love of many will grow cold. If we were living at the North Pole, Antarctica, would we be walking around with shorts and t-shirts? Probably not. If we knew we were going to the Antarctica, we'd probably dress as warm as we possibly could so that our bodies could stay healthy. But yet many of us, this is how we tempt love at life. And not just in relationships for, you know, a guy and a girl and marriage, but with friends, many we tempt love the same way. We're not fully prepared. As like going to the Antarctica, we wear shorts and t-shirts, ill-prepared. Real love. Turn to your neighbor and say, real love. Real love, baby. Real love. Matthew chapter 4 is kind of an interesting text for our theme of love today, but you're going to get it. Remember, our topic today is what? Epic battle. Matthew 4, starting verse 1. Jesus was led by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. 40 days, 40 nights, he fasted and he became hungry. During that time, the devil came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. Jesus told him, no. The scriptures say people don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple. He said, if you're the Son of God, jump off, for the scriptures say he will order his angels to protect you. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Jesus responded, the scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God. Next day, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. I'm going to give it all to you, he said, if you will just kneel down and worship me. Get out of here, Satan, Jesus told him, for the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The thing that I find interesting about this text is that in the beginning it says, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted, to be tested. There's a lot of things we can think of the Holy Spirit. We know that Acts 1:8, the Holy Spirit empowers us. We know that in Galatians, the Holy Spirit produces good fruit in us. We know the Holy Spirit's here to help us, to counsel us, to teach us, to remind us. But also, if the Holy Spirit led Jesus in the wilderness, to be tested. The wilderness is a symbol and a place of testing. If Jesus was led there, we have to ask ourselves, would God ever lead me? If he led Jesus, would he lead me to a place of testing? And why would he lead us to a place of testing? Do we get to pick and choose what we want from the Bible? I mean, I love the book of John, right? I mean, it's such a great name. I love John. I love Matthew. I like Mark. I like Luke. I like them all. Gospels, right? Matthew, Mark, how can you go wrong with them? But there's some in the Old Testament. How many of we read the Old Testament? It's like, those laws sound crazy. Do we get to pick and choose what book to read? Yeah, God gives us that, right? You can pick what book to read. But do we get to pick which ones to follow, or does he expect us to follow all of them? For the Holy Spirit, sounds really good to me. He says he's here to empower us, give us strength and power. How many of us could use the word their power is a dynamite power? Woo! Dynamite power, right? Yes, I'm picking that one for sure. The Holy Spirit's here to produce good fruit in us. How many of us could use some more producing inside of us? Yeah, that sounds good too. But if the Holy Spirit also is here to remind us, to teach us, and to lead us to a place of testing, I don't think we can ignore that. Sometimes we do. I think sometimes we ignore the testing that God leads us to because we say, God wouldn't do that. Jesus' half-brother, James, he said, brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. You know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. When your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete and needing nothing. Why does God lead us to a place of testing? Because he's trying to produce growth inside of every one of us. Why did God lead Jesus? So there was a statement being made with Jesus and the devil here. But why does he lead us? Why is the Holy Spirit leading us to a place that goes through the wilderness, that goes through a place of testing? Because he needs our faith to grow. The Bible says if your faith is as small as a mustard seed, which is tiny, you can move mountains. There's so many great things we can do if our faith is here. Little, itty, bitty, bitty, tiny mustard seed. And if our faith, we don't give it time and a chance to grow, we don't allow God to lead us to the place of testing, then we're never giving ourselves the benefit and the chance to see some of the greatest things that God is. Fight the good fight. Paul said it to Timothy, not just to put on gloves, not just to put on the armor, but what he was saying to Timothy is you have to fight like hell for everything God wants to give you. Now, all the blessings, all the opportunities that God has for you here and now, he says to Timothy, fight the good fight. You have to go after it. You have to get it. Fighting the good fight. God leads us through different seasons. God leads us through different moments in time. And to take a step back, to learn to enjoy every single season and moment in time, even like Jesus was led in the wilderness, if he leads us to places of testing. Since Jesus fasted 40 days, 40 nights, if any one of us in here, and I have not, but if you've ever fasted 40 days and 40 nights, there's a couple things obviously that happen. Number one, you're going to be hungry. Two, you're going to lose weight. But there's also a few other things that happen if you fast 40 days, 40 nights. There's a metabolism shift in your body. There's a fatigue and a dizziness. There's an electrolyte imbalance. And there's even hormonal changes that happen if you can make it 40 days and 40 nights. So from a human perspective, Jesus fasted 40 days, 40 nights. There probably was a lot going on inside of him. Headaches. If you've ever fasted before for even a few days, you know that there's headaches that come from fasting. So from a human perspective, Jesus, led by the Spirit, into the wilderness to be tested, fasting 40 days, 40 nights, there's a heck of a lot of things that are going through his head, his heart, his mind, his soul. And in that, when he was hungry, in that when he was weak, in that when he was probably a little tired, in that when he might have had a really big, giant headache, who comes along? The devil. And what did he say to him? The very first thing, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, what was he questioning to Jesus? What was he trying to get Jesus to question? Number one, his identity. Jesus, he knew who he was. Do you know who I am? Many today struggle with identity. If the very first thing the devil was trying to get Jesus tripped up on was his identity, believe you me, he is using this exact same thing today. Through rapid life changes, overwhelming social media influence, pressure to align with the external expectations of our world, trying to fit in, trying to make everybody happy, rather than sticking to internal, rather than sticking to character values, some through traumatic experiences, through careers, work, the job place, pressure to perform, many lose sight of their identity. We wake up every morning, most of us in here, we kind of know who we are. You kind of know what you feel like. The very beginning, though, the Bible says we're born in the image of God. 1 John 3:1, see how much God loves us? He calls us his children. So the very first moment we wake up, there's a couple things that we should remind ourselves of. Number one, God loves me, and I'm his kid. God loves me, and I am his son. Ephesians 2:10, we're God's masterpiece. Wow. So God loves me, I'm his son, and he even calls me his masterpiece. Not the masterpiece Oreo shake, but we are God's masterpiece. Ephesians 2:10. He's created us new in Christ Jesus. We can do the good things that he's planned for us long ago. We are God's masterpiece. Yes, I wake up every morning and say, this is John Weigel. This is who I am. But I remind myself, I'm God's son. God loves me. God is, he said, I am his masterpiece. Just like you are his masterpiece. It's not just me, right? We all are God's masterpiece. 2 Corinthians 5:20, we're Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead to people, come back to God. So our daddy in heaven, he loves us. Our daddy in heaven, he calls us his sons, his daughters. Our daddy in heaven calls us his masterpieces. He put us together perfectly. And lastly, he calls us his ambassador. I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. We are, all of us in here, ambassadors for Jesus Christ. In the beginning, Genesis, we know that God says what? I made man, woman in my what? Image, which is a like a stamp, like a seal, like an image, like a reflection. So God made us in his image to be the reflection to this world. The very first thing the devil tries to steal and rob Jesus of is what? His identity. Now, was Jesus going to fall for it? Heck no. But how many of us fall for the identity thing every single day, allowing the devil robbing us of who we are? I'm fully loved. God loves me. Man, he cares for me. He's got a plan for me. He's got a purpose for me. God made me the way that I am. God made me who I am. God values me. Identity. We are made in the image of God. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're made in his image. Second thing that he does, so he messes with the identity, tries to. Second thing he tries to mess with is what? His hunger. Hey, you're probably hungry. You haven't ate for 40 days. Tell these stones to become bread. Jesus was naturally, humanly speaking, he probably was hungry. He probably had a headache. Could a little piece of bread take away part of that hunger? Could a little piece of bread maybe make one little headache feel a little bit lighter? Could one piece of bread maybe make him feel not so excited? Nobody's watching. I could probably just eat just a little bit of this. You know, it says, people, humans, we are what we eat. Our hunger. How many of us know that our favorite place to eat, our favorite things that we buy at the store, it says a lot about who we are, our hunger. If you were to look in the Bible, what does hunger in the Bible say? Well, eating is a way to honor the body, to show gratitude, and to manage the health that God wants us to have. The Bible talks about that these bodies are temples of the living God. Now, the temples of the living God, if God is living in these precious little temples, should we not take care of it? Maybe just a little bit better. We honor God then by how and what we eat. The Bible says that being thankful, just saying a simple, God, thank you for this wonderful coffee that I'm about to drink. God, thank you for this food. Thank you for the beautiful hands that make it. God, thank you. Thank you. A simple thank you to say, God, I appreciate that this body gets a little bit of fuel. God, thank you. It doesn't have to be. Now, sometimes people sit down and have prayers and it's 30 million lines and 30 million sentences, right? We can simply just say, God, thank you. for making me, blessing me with the opportunity to eat this food. Eating hunger shows gratitude and grateful. The Bible talks about clean food, unclean food, to choose, that we have the option to what we want to eat. You know, today, unfortunately, you know, the more you study food, the foods that are in most grocery stores today aren't exactly good for us. The things and ingredients that people put in the food that is available today is actually killing our bodies. Back in the Old Testament, there was clean animals, unclean animals. God laid out clear instructions how they should eat, what they should eat, how to cook it. All these things, giving them a chance to what? To live and maximize life. Hunger, these stomachs, what do? They play a big part of life. The devil questioned his identity. Secondly, he questioned his hunger. What we hunger for, not only in food, but in life, it shows who we are. Our hunger, which is our desires, the things that we yearn for, the hunger, the physical part of life. But there's an emotional, there's a mental, there's life desires that people, that we hunger for every single day. And as the devil tempted Jesus through his hunger, believe you me, he is still trying to tempt us through our hunger. Not only what we eat, but what we chase for. Jesus, he said, how about we go to the high point of the temple and why don't you jump off? Now, this second part of this text, and he says, jump off the building. He says to test God. Let's see who's, you know, let's test God. Let's see what God can do. God can really catch you and save you. But think about it for a second. If there was a man 2,000 years ago who was to climb up to the highest point of the temple, and then he was to jump off the temple, and you can't see angels, right? But the angels catch him, and he slowly comes back down to the ground. What would the people do watching this? What would they do? What would they say if they're watching a man just jump, but he's not falling quickly, he's slowly, safely coming down? Man, they would freak out, right? If this was to happen today, if someone was to go to the Empire State Building and jump off and he didn't just splat to the ground, but if he slowly came down like he was on a slow-going elevator, people would freak out. People would be filming it. People would be posting it. People would be sending it everywhere. If Jesus jumped off and he didn't die and the angels carried him safely, what kind of image would that say? What kind of image would that create? And so we see that the devil tested his identity. The devil was testing his hunger. And the devil was testing his image. Image in life. It's amazing how big a piece this plays. Because how many of us have ever been new at a job? And you know, if I'm new at a job, I got to give off the right image. I want my boss to think I'm a hard worker. I'm honest, got good character, I work hard, right? Or how many of us, when we go to school, we go to college, we go to high school, wherever we go, every single day, how many of us know that the image we portray, it plays an important part of every single thing that we do? This is my image, this is who I am, right? This is what I want people to see when they see me. Desperate. What are we desperate for? For what? For whom? The image. What are the things that we're here to portray every single day? And so unfortunately, many have turned from the image of God, and many have settled for the image and the things or what's popular, what's cool, or simply we settle for an image that we think we are. If we were honest this morning and we were to think about ourselves, if we were to think, well, every time we look in the mirror, what do you say about what you see when you look at yourself in the mirror? Every single morning, every single night, if you were to honestly speak out loud what you think about your image, This changes the world. This changes the view of people. Because what we say and do relies a lot on what? How the image we want people to see us. The simple image that we were made for was to be a Christ reflection in the world. But let's be honest, how many of us, we get focused on our image? If the devil tempted Jesus' identity, his hunger, his image, he's going to come after what we look like, what we sound like, what we dress like, what we drive, right? The image just the same. The third thing he tempted him with, he says to Jesus, look, all of this I'll give you. You know what the crazy thing is? Everything already belonged to Jesus anyway. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. So the devil says to Jesus, Jesus, man, look at all the things I can give you. Look at all this wonderful stuff I can give you. Jesus, he could have said, bro, come on. It's all mine anyway. It's all mine. But he didn't go there. Why? Because he didn't have to brag. When you got it, you don't have to brag. Jesus didn't have to brag because he already owned everything. He was everything. He's God in the flesh. So he didn't have to tell the devil, what are you talking about? It's all mine. It's all mine. I'm letting you be here because I'm going to defeat you and hurt you one day. But I'm letting you be here. Jesus didn't do that. He said, listen, devil, God didn't put me here to chase everything that I see. God put me here to worship him. One of our songs this morning, Phil Wickham, Creator. To truly see God creating the earth. To truly see God in creation, speaking light into existence, light traveling so fast. All the things that God put together, the intricate pieces of every part of creation, to understand I am created, I have a creator, is the very basis of worship. And if we're not worshiping him, what do we tend to do then? Then we tend to worship what we see. Give, to take, to go after certain parts of the world, to go on a treasure hunt. I'm on a manhunt. I'm chasing fame, chasing life, riches. I just want a little bit more money. Chasing life. So many of us ignoring the very small truths. Real love, our theme this month. So many people, we will spend, we will buy, we will watch, we will listen to all the things in the pursuit of real love while ignoring the real fact of what real love is. You know, in our nature, human nature, our natural tendency is to put a name, to put a desire, to give it a name, to put something we see and attach it, to give it to God. Have you ever had a friend, family member, someone you know, who like called you and said, you know what? God gave me a dream about you last night. Have you ever heard somebody say that? Have you ever heard one of the people, or maybe not a family member, not a friend. You listen to their dream and it's like, man, that was a nasty cheeseburger they ate last night, because where did that come from? They come to you and they say, listen, God gave me this dream. God is calling you and your family to move to the Antarctica. You need to pack up. You need to get warm clothes. And God is sending you to the Antarctica. If any one of us, if a friend came and told us, what would we say to them? You're crazy. You're crazy. God doesn't want me in Antarctica. He put me in Hemet, right? Hemet is heaven. This is where God put us. Have you ever heard someone say, well, I'm praying about it, but I just haven't got the right answer yet? Have you ever heard someone said, well, I prayed about this, and God told me no? If we ever listen, that's what I love about us, as humans, as Christians, as Christ followers. You see, sometimes we use God as a weapon. If we were honest, sometimes we use God as a weapon, and sometimes we go after people. They think they have a dream, thinking it's from God, but it's really just their own feelings that they're describing to you. There's things that people use saying that they prayed about it and God said no, when it's really just an excuse of something they don't want to do. If you were to listen sometimes to ourselves, our brothers or sisters or families, I prayed about this. God told me he wants you to sell everything and live in a cardboard box. Woo! Yes. Sounds like a good plan. Sign me up. If we all looked and listened sometimes to what we say, think about it. God told me I don't have to. God told me no. God told me it's not my time. When honestly what we're saying is, I just don't feel like it. But what are we doing with God? We think that we're speaking on his behalf. So if we were to take this morning all the things that we've read, all the things that we talked about, and we were starting to wrap up. Seems early to start to wrap up, 10 o'clock. Maybe we just keep on going. But if we were to take the beginning text, remember our theme today is epic battle. No matter how many things that you've read in a book about love, has it made you a person who's better at love? How many of us in here have listened to thousands of love songs? Did it make us any better at love? How many of us have watched hundreds of love movies or stories? Did it honestly make us any better at love? And why is that? Well, there's a couple reasons. So now we pull all of our texts together. Number one, understanding the season and time that we live in, Jesus said what? The love of many will grow cold. The theme 2026 overall, prophetically here, prophetically around the world, Christians are saying that 2026, it's a year of warfare. It's a year to fight. And I wonder, maybe we don't really view love in this manner, but maybe love is a part of warfare, and maybe Christians have to fight harder to love than we ever have before. Because in the end, if the devil's job is to make our hearts grow cold, what do we have to do? We have to guard our hearts. We have to fight with our heart to make sure that we don't let our love grow cold. So last week we started, we talked about what? Connection. Number one, if this light is not connected to the source, it will never turn on. If you're not connected to Jesus, you will never experience real love or be able to give real love. If you are not connected to Jesus Christ, if you're not connected to the cross and the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you have never picked up the cross and said, Jesus, I've decided to follow you. Goodbye yesterday, our beginning song. I've decided to follow Jesus, and I'm not looking back. I'm not going back. If you have decided to make Jesus the Savior and Lord of your life, that means that you are now personally, you are connected. The light is on. We will never, ever, ever, ever experience real love without being connected. We will never know how to fully give real love unless we are connected. The Bible says this is real love, what the God died for us. Now, did God die for perfect people? Did God come here and say, I'm only going to die for those perfect, wonderful, nice people? No. What did the Bible say? He died for sinners. He died for people who had their backs turned against him. What is love? It's learning where it comes from. The Bible says God is love. So who's the source of love? It's God. If we want to know what love is, then we have to tap into the source. Real love, epic battle. Number one, am I really connected to the source of love today? Am I following? John 15:4, Jesus said, remain in me, and I'll remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. If you cannot be fruitful, unless you will not be fruitful, unless you remain in me. I have to get connected. But once I get connected, I have to keep connected. I have to stay connected. One of the things I love about that song that Phil Wilkins sang, Falling in Love, he said, the more I praise you, the more I fall in love with you. So the less we sing to him, the less we're going to love him. And that is the absolute truth. The more you surround yourself with worship, love, music towards our Creator, the more you're going to find yourself being in love with your Creator. The more we find ourselves being wrapped and surrounded with his word, the more we're going to find ourselves being wrapped up in him. Secondly, to remind ourselves, this is war. This is war. Life is war. In the end, the message, there is people who are cold-hearted. There's betrayal happening all over the world. There's hate, there's anger, there's murders, there's people being killed. The message of hate today is the loudest message being spread around the world. It's okay to hate. It's okay to be divided. Politics, governments all over the world, countries spreading hate, 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 hate. If you vote on this side, you have to hate the people who are on the other side, right? So many people today are spreading hate and fear. And so what do we do as believers? What do we do as sons and daughters? What do we do as God's masterpiece? Should we just sit there and watch the show? No. God needs us to fight. To fight for God, to fight for love, to fight for the truth. This is war. It is an absolute, absolute battle. Jesus said in the end there's going to be what? False prophets. False prophets who are out there spreading lies, just like the devil does every single day. Our text of Jesus and the devil going head to head. We know that Jesus won, and he simply won one way. And that's what? He understood the word of God. When the devil came to Jesus, he said, turn these stones into bread. You're hungry. Jesus is like, yeah, I could eat. But I don't live by bread alone. I live by what my Father tells me. The word of God is so satisfying. The word of God is so filling. Jesus, why don't you go jump off? Man, we can get you a whole new image. Why don't you go jump off the temple? Angels will catch you. We can test God. We can play with God. We can do this. Let's play God. No. The Bible says, I don't need to test God. Jesus, don't go to the cross. Why do you want to die? Who wants to die? Who wants to give their life at 33 years of living? Who wants to be whipped and tortured? You can just bow down and worship me. His pitch, man, he had a sales pitch. He put that together. Jesus said, you know what, devil? I only worship God. I only worship God. Every single time, he quoted the Bible. He quoted the scripture. If we were honest in here today, see, we have an issue. There's a problem. And it's not hard to figure out why there's a love problem. Because all the love sources in the world who are telling us what love looks like, most of them are not coming from here. Real love starts by being connected to the source, and that's God. And if we're not connected to his love, then we can't receive it, man, and we can't give it. This epic battle, the devil lying every single day. And what is he lying to us about? Our identity. You're a fool, you're stupid, you're a failure, you're ugly, you're dumb, you're retarded. We hear those words everywhere, right? The devil tempting our hunger. No, you're not hungry for that. This is what you're hungry for. This is what you want. This is what you want. This is what you should look like. So this epic battle. And what is the epic battle about? It's all about love. And it's all about real love. What is real love? Well, I'm glad you asked. 1 Corinthians 13:1 says, Paul said, if I could speak all the languages of the earth and angels but didn't love, I'd only sound like a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans, if I possessed all knowledge, if I had such faith that I can move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything to the poor, even sacrificing my body, I could boast. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Paul goes on to describe just how important love is. And what does love look like? He goes on to say, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous, boastful, or proud, or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. It keeps no records of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, endures through every circumstance. Prophecy, speaking in unknown languages, special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. Three things will remain and last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. God is love. God is the source of love. God alone can fill the void of love in us, which honestly is the only way to be able to fill it in somebody else. Do we know what real love is? We search for it. We all look for it. We all want it. Real love in relationships, in friendships, in our workplace, everywhere we go, people are looking, desiring for love and connection and friendship. All the while ignoring, if I'm not connected to light, I'm never gonna get it. I'm never gonna get it. Love, it's warfare today. Because at the end, what did Jesus say? Hearts will grow cold. It's warfare. We have to fight hard to show the love of God. You know, you think about, you know, Kim and I have been married for almost 30 years. And we have five wonderful, beautiful kids. And I'll never forget when we were at a different church a long time ago in youth pastors, one of these adults asked Shiloh or Mike, I can't remember, one of them, how many times mom and dad fought. They're like, I don't know, just like a few times. They just like held up their hand like a few times. I don't remember which one it was. And for them at that age, I don't remember who it was and how old, but at the end perception, that was all that we fought, just a few times. That's awesome and amazing, right? Because Kim and I, one of our jobs, responsibilities as parents are to, one, obviously love God, but to love each other in the reflection of God's love. And that's one of the things that he asks us to do. Secondly, not just in relationships and family, it's the love to the world. Real love. Real love. This epic battle. We're going to pray, and we're going to get out of here. We can all go watch, get ready for the Super Bowl, so we get cozy and popcorn and buffalo wings. Maybe. Some people will probably be having ribs, Starbucks. We all have important things we got on our list, right? But the greatest thing on the list today is, how will we love? So let's pray.